My dear brothers and sisters in Christ,
why are you all here this morning? Are you here this morning because someone shook you awake and said to you, get up, get your clothes on, it's time for church? Are you here this morning because you know if you come to church at 10:30, then after church is over, you get to go out for waffles and ice cream? Are you here this morning because you heard this rumor that there's this new pastor in town and you wanted to come out and find out what his sermons were like? I have to admit, if I was sitting in the pew, that might be one of the reasons I came today. You know why you're here. You're here this morning because you are here to worship your triune God, because you know as you worship your triune God, he comes to you and he bestows his forgiveness on you freely and faithfully, and he stretches out his hand and he blesses you. And every time you come to worship, you encounter your God, and you receive from your God his blessing, and you have his grace poured out on you, and ultimately that's the reason that we go to worship. Except, we also know some of those other things, they have a way of sneaking into our thoughts. And so as you contemplate that, as you think of the way that all these different motivations can weave together and play on you as you come to worship your Lord, maybe not today, but it's probably happened a Sunday in the past, because you know what that is like, you can actually understand better, I think, what Jesus is talking about as he talks about these parables, as he teaches you to grasp onto that treasure that he is giving you. You see, Jesus says to you today, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. And when you look at these two parables, they're actually very similar. You have someone that is going about their daily business, and as they go about their daily business, they discover a treasure that they were not expecting to find. And because they find this great treasure, and because they recognize what this treasure is worth, they sell everything that they have. There is nothing left behind. They sell everything that they have, and they go and buy this treasure that they have found. That's how great this treasure is. And so like those individuals in this parable, you find yourself going through your Sunday today, and you find in your hands a treasure of immense worth, that pearl of great price. Because you grasp in your hands that eternal gospel, the gospel that proclaims the eternal forgiveness of your God that's won for you by the death and resurrection of your Savior, who is the very Son of God. And as you grasp onto this pearl of great price that you hold in your hands right now, how are you going to respond? You see, it's very easy right now in this moment to hold on to that treasure and to rejoice in it and to pray because of it and to sing your hymns of praise as a result of it. You're sitting in church. But how are you going to grasp this treasure in 2 hours as you're eating your waffles and ice cream? How are you going to grasp this treasure tomorrow morning as you are sitting with your coworkers and drinking your coffee? How do you take this awesome treasure that has been put into your hands, and how do you carry it with you, and how do you treat it as you go into the rest of your life? Well, have you ever found yourself scrolling through something like Facebook Marketplace or Craigslist or OfferUp or another one of those apps? Those are the apps where people take the treasures that they absolutely love and they try and sell them to you because they're not treasured anymore. And so you scroll through something like that and you see all sorts of pictures. And you can tap on a picture when you see something and you start to think to yourself, well, how can I use that in my garage? How can I use that in my house? If I buy that, where can it sit? But as you look at those treasures, and as you hold the picture of those treasures in your hand on your phone, finally there comes that point where you have to sit there and decide, do I really treasure this? And if I really treasure it, then I have to put the time and the effort and the money into contacting that seller and finding a way to get that treasure from them so that treasure can become my very own. And if you ever scrolled through something like that, and if you scroll through it like I do, 99.9% of those treasures that you find, you decide, really aren't that valuable, and it's not worth the cost of purchasing that treasure. Well, at this moment, you have in your hands that precious treasure that God has given you. You hold in your hands the gospel of your Savior. And it's really easy to see the shine of that treasure as you sit here. But then you walk out those doors. And as you walk out those doors, you have that great treasure in one hand, but as you walk out those doors, the world has a way of flashing all sorts of other treasures before your eyes. And as the world flashes all those other treasures before your eyes, it's not just one picture after another. It's more like the world takes a jar full of fake pearls and tries to dump them out into your hand as you hold on to this treasure. Now, what happens when someone dumps something into your hands when you're trying to hold something? How often can you hold on to that one thing, and how often do you try and catch everything else that's falling out of that jar? That's what the world tries to do. It throws all these treasures out at you, and it tries to get you to grab onto those other treasures, and if it causes you to drop this pearl of great price that you have, then the world thinks that's even all the better. And the world is very sneaky as it tosses its pearls out at you. It takes the best picture of it can. It uses just the right lighting. It softens all the edges with Photoshop. It does everything it can to try and convince you that this pearl that you hold here isn't worth whatever the other pearls are that it's offering. And the world is sneaky as it does it. And so the world comes to you, and through your entertainment, it throws out treasures, and it says, these are the treasures you should be valuing. And so as you watch a video, whatever platform you watch your videos on, as you watch a video, you see a video where the person making that video has some sort of objective, some sort of issue, something that they think is really important, and they're trying to convince you through that video that you watch that you should make this issue or this idea important to, that this should be the treasure that you hold on to, with the goal of trying to get you to let go of this one and hold on to this one. Or through entertainment, you have people who try and influence you and try and convince you that your treasure is really found in what you wear, or the brands that you have, or the place that you live. And on it can go, because these are the treasures that are important. These are the treasures that matter. All with the goal of trying to get you to let go of this treasure over here. Sometimes that doesn't work, though. And so the world tries different pearls. Maybe it's the pearl of news. Whatever news platform you're watching, that platform tries to convince you that they are the only ones that report the news. They are the only ones that give the proper commentary on the news. They are the only ones that tell you accurately what that news actually means for your life. And so if you treasure them and hold on to them and listen only to them, then you won't be led astray. And sometimes that doesn't work either. And so if those pearls don't work, then it pulls out the pearl of education. You have to take the right courses. You have to go to the right college. You have to get to the right degree. This is the treasure that you have. And if that doesn't work, then it pulls out sports. And if that doesn't work, then it pulls out your family. And if that doesn't work, there's the lure of technology. And if that doesn't work, there's the advancement of society. And on the pearls that the world throws out can go. all with an attempt to get you to take this pearl, this priceless treasure that you have in your hands right now, and get you to lower it underneath these treasures, or to let go of it for the sake of these treasures. But if we grasp onto these pearls that the world throws out for us, we discover that we're grasping onto something that will pass away and will be no treasure at all. That's why Christ came into the world in the first place. He came into the world to save us from the bling that the world offers, from the forsaking of everything that he had given us at first. And so Jesus came into the world as he gave up his treasures, as he set aside the glory of heaven and was made man, as he suffered and died for our sins, as he removes our transgressions and turns us into his great treasure, so that he can give to us his treasure of the gospel. For our sake, Christ became poor, so that through his poverty we might be made rich in him. The thing is, I'm not telling you anything new. What I'm telling you right now is the same message you've heard from this pulpit again and again and again. We have this treasure that is Christ. And yet every week we find ourselves walking out those doors and trying to figure out, how do I hold on to this treasure that I have, and how do I maintain this treasure as I go out into the world? Well, Jesus tells us how. His very last parable, he says, "Therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old." Now, I have to admit, usually when I hear this parable, these words discussed, it is one person talking to me as a pastor who is addressing other pastors and other teachers. And as this section is pulled out, we are reminded that we cannot rest on what we've learned at the seminary or what we learned in the college, that we need to continue to delve into the Word of God. We need to continue to learn from it, even though we know it pretty well by the time we finish seminary. That's not enough. We have to keep digging into it, that we might continue to draw insight and grow in our knowledge of it as we go through our lives. The thing is, as Jesus talks about those teachers of the law, he's not just talking about the professional clergy, the professional pastors and teachers, the ones who have made it their career to share the gospel. The teachers of the law at Jesus' time, sometimes they were the rabbis, sometimes they were the ones leading the services, but other times they were the people sitting in the pew. They were just the learned disciples. And so as Jesus brings out this parable, he's not just talking to pastors and teachers, he's talking to you. And he's talking about how you, as you hold this treasure, you continue to delve into it, and you continue to remember the things that you already know, and you continue to gain new insight from it. And I have to tell you, sometimes it's hard. It's hard because you know it. You live it every year. You know how Christ was born of Mary in Bethlehem. You know how Christ suffered and died for your sins. You know how Christ rose again on the third day, how he ascended into heaven, how he's reigning on his throne in heaven. You know those things. And yet we still go back to what is so familiar to us, and we continue to grow and learn from it. Yet sometimes just talking like that's hard to grasp. And so let me give you an example. One of the sections of Scripture that I hold as one of my favorites is found in Colossians chapter 3, where the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved." And there we have that gospel. There we have that treasure that we grasp so hard. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." The reason I hold on to these verses so hard is because these were the verses that were used at my wedding, that the pastor who preached the sermon read and then explained. And as you listen to these verses, they are very good verses to hear read at your wedding, because when two young people are getting married, they need to hear how they, who are treasured by Christ, who are God's children, how they should show kindness and compassion and patience and gentleness to one another. And yet, I would be a fool if I sat there and said, the only thing Paul is talking about with these verses is be in my marriage. You see, I also have children. I have a lot of children. And I can go back to these verses that I know oh so well. And I can sit there and say, I'm still that child of God. And yet, he says that I'm supposed to show compassion and kindness and gentleness and patience. And the way I reflect that is going to be different for my children than it is for my spouse. And so I'm going back to something that I know so well and gaining new insight for the situation that God has placed me in. And then you go back to those verses. For the last 17 years, I've had the privilege of living the place I've lived the longest in my life. And you may know that when you live in a place for a long time, you start to build relationships with people, and you start to gain a history with people, and you start to understand not only the joys that they bring, but maybe some of the sorrows that they bring into their lives. And yet, you can go back to these familiar words, and you see what Paul says, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. And you sit there and realize that the application you have for that with your spouse might be a different application you have with the people that you've been surrounded by for the last 10 years or 15 years or your entire life. And you're going back to something you know oh so well, and you're gaining new insights into it for the situation you find yourself in. Or then I moved 1,000 miles to a place where it snows again. And when you move a long distance, there's a little stress there. And there's a lot of people you don't know. And suddenly you can go back to these familiar words that you know oh so well. And you sit there and say, well, wait a minute. There's a new way to understand this. There's a new way to apply having compassion and kindness and gentleness and patience with a new group of people. You have a treasure that you know like the back of your hand. And yet, over time, in the different situations that God places you, and you can go back to it, and you can sit there and say, this is how this applies now. This is how this applies in this way. And so we bring out of this treasure that we grasp every Sunday, treasures that are old, treasures that are familiar, but treasures that are new as well. And so you can do the same thing. You can take this precious pearl that you have received, this gospel that you hold, and you can return to it again and again. And then as you go out those doors, you can sit there and say, How does this apply as I eat my waffles and ice cream? How does this apply as I have coffee with my friends? How does this apply as I interact with my family? How does this apply as I live my life during the week? As Jesus spoke to his disciples, he said, have you understood all these things? Do you understand the treasure that you have? Do you understand the joy that it brings? Well, yes, the disciples say, and yes, we can say. So grasp it and hold on to it and don't let go of it, no matter what the world offers you in exchange. And as you live with this treasure of the word in your hands, look to see how you can apply it in your family, in your friends, and amongst your brothers and sisters in the church of God. Amen.